We're going to take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. I'm sorry. You all got them. You just didn't know where you were turning. I'm there. How come you're not? First time you've listened, Paula. You start it. I'll finish it. Don't mess with the man with the microphone. Amen, Brother Mike?
That's exactly right, sir.
Psalm 23, we'll read all six verses. We'll read it responsively. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brother Mike, pray, please.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for Sunday evening church, God. I do personally so appreciate this. I appreciate time with our family here. Be with our preacher, help him to bring the message that you would have for us through him tonight. You've been good to us, Father. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most misused passages of Scripture to me. It's often associated only with funerals. And may I say something? I could probably preach 6 weeks and never get out of Psalm 23. There's so much in Psalm 23. It is more than just something to be read at a funeral, just so you know. And I want to lift a truth out of it to you tonight that will help you. If you'll look at me for a moment and then we'll jump into this. We humans are sinful and selfish. We are naturally selfish. Did you know you don't have to teach a child to be selfish?
Right.
Have you ever had two children together? Mine! No, mine! Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sounds like husbands and wives at times even. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. It comes natural to the flesh. We tend, therefore, to see life only through the way we want to see it. Because we're so selfish, we tend to see life as it affects us and us only. Isn't it amazing? Your enemy, somebody that hates you, you think they're a bad person, but there are other people that love them. Just because they hate you doesn't mean they're all bad. Everybody doing okay? Man, it's getting quiet in here. We tend to think we are the center of life, and that life should go my way all the time. We think that life should go the way we would do it if we were in charge. Who made you God? See, this selfishness comes by us wanting to be our own God due to being a sinner. We have this sinful idea that we're good enough to see how life should go.
You're right.
Folks, I'm 54. I'm not old yet. I'm getting older. That is correct. I took my boys golfing when Jeff was home. Got to the counter. The guy said, "You get senior discount for any of you?" I said, "Shut up." He said, "Well, how old are you?" I said, 54. He said, "Well, it doesn't start till 60 anyway." I said, "Good, 6 years, and then I'm going to stick it in your mouth." Wait a minute. So many of us think that we understand life. At 54, I'm just now really getting a pretty good grasp on life. I believe that. I've been through the infancy stage, childhood stage, teen stage, college stage, new married stage, little baby stage of my own, toddler stage, junior high stage that everybody wants to commit suicide in, teen stage, college stage, and now I have two of the three kids married and one in the military. I'm just now understanding a pretty good view of what life is. after 54 years. Now, it also means that whatever we want, we should get because we want it. That's the way we live. Just because I want it, I should get it. Well, you didn't grow up in my house. If you said you wanted it, you had to wait for it for sure. People get upset with God when they don't get what they want. And then they blame God that it's his fault. I want to unlock a truth that could change your life tonight. It'll change your life. It'll change the lives of those that live with you and are around you on a regular basis. Let me say it this way. God wants you to live not wanting in life. Look at Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right. Say, what does that mean? He's so good, I shouldn't want anything else. God says if we have food and raiment and clothing and housing, therewith to be content. When we get to the point in our life that we don't want, then and only then can God really get out of us and give to us what he wants for us to have. I'm not a complicated person. I'm really not. I'm a pretty simple person. You can ask my family. You can ask those that work with me. I don't want anything. People ask me, preacher, what do you want? Just be at church. Preacher, what do you want? Just be faithful. I don't want anything. My kids, my wife drive, they go nuts. Well, your birthday's coming up. What do you want? Father's Day's coming up. What do you want? I don't want anything. I really don't. I have no desire for a bunch of things in life. Somebody asked me, a few months ago, preacher, if there was one thing you could get that you want, what would it be? I said, every member of my church in church on the same Sunday and them having visitors with them and realizing they can get visitors to church. They said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. If you had one thing you could, I said, that's what I'd want. They said, no, if you could get anything, I said, that's what I want. Well, that's not for you. I said, no, I know that. You see, I'm not good at telling you what I want. I'm not a super Christian. But I've gotten to the point in life where I realize that I get more from him if I don't want anything. You know, when you don't want anything and you get something, it's pretty good. If you're not expecting to get anything and you get something, shazam, that's pretty good. You see, I'm a sinner. I really don't want things for myself. Usually if I get something, somebody gives me some extra money or something, usually I spend it on my wife or my kids. Or I'll spend it on somebody else. Somebody recently gave me some money at my birthday. Say, what'd you do with it? Pulled it out of my wallet and gave it to my secretary, and her and some of the ladies are making skirts for our junior age girls in junior church so that when they sing in church, they have skirts to wear. That's what I wanted to do with it. Say, preacher, you could have gone out and I know what I could have done, but that's what I wanted. It's not about me. By the way, I'm not the model Christian here. But I'm going to teach you something that I have learned. I don't have a wish list. I don't make a Christmas list. I don't make a birthday list. I don't go to my wife and say, boy, I wished I had that and wished I had that and wished I had that. We can go window shop and I say, I want you to have that. I want you to have that. And I want you to have that. And she'll say, no, I don't want that. What do you want? I don't want anything. I want you to have what you want. We get in more arguments over what each other wants instead of what we want for ourselves. And it's a wonderful way to live. I really have tried to live Psalm 23:1. as a way of life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you don't want anything, then everything you get is a blessing. I don't have to have big, expensive, fancy taste. I don't have to have the highest quality, most expensive anything. I'm just happy with a $20 Goodwill suit that I have on. Say, why? That's all I want. I'm not going to go spend $200-$300 on one. I can get 10 of them for $20 each. And my dad just ordered a new Ranger pickup truck a couple weeks ago. I said, Dad, you did it without me being there. He said, yeah. He said, I'm big enough. I can do that. I said, well, how did you know what color I wanted? And we joke about it. He said, well, you have to get the color I got for you if I die before. Wait a minute. We joke about that. My dad will tell you, he knows I don't want anything he's got. I want him. I didn't want things from my mother. I wanted her. I don't want things from people. I want relationships built so that when we get to heaven, we can keep it going. Let me show you how to live not wanting to want tonight. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, just a few pages over. Psalm 34, verse number 8. What a sweet passage of scripture here. The Bible says in Psalm 34, oh, let's go up to verse 6. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear ye the Lord, ye as saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Listen to me very carefully here. When you want to fear the Lord and you want the wisdom of God and you want to see God's blessing in your life, you're willing to put aside the extra toys, the money spent there, and say, God, I want what you want me to want. I don't want anything. Preacher, you've had a lot of things given to you in your life. I have. Can I tell you why I didn't want them? I didn't set out to get them. I just put it aside and said, if the Lord wants me to get it, he'll get it for me. And it happens. I can't explain that other than if you don't want it, when the right time comes, it'll come. I'm going to make a statement here. I think it's dangerous for young couples to take extravagant honeymoons. I'll tell you why. Starting a marriage off doing something extravagant, there's nothing to look forward to later in life. Nothing. I traveled some as my children got a little older. I don't travel a lot, still don't travel a lot, but I've done a good bit of travel. My wife and I have never been on a cruise. Say why? Never been a high priority. And I didn't want to do it while my kids were at the house because we had to have something to look forward to. There's a couple of places we'd like to go one day. And we'll get there. Say when? When time's right. But we're still looking forward to it. Can I tell you something? Part of the fun of getting something is not worrying about it and letting it stay out there for a while. You see, God wants you to let him decide what you need instead of you telling God what you need. God wants to want things for you that maybe you would never imagine. I never saw myself pastoring Grace Baptist Church, just so you know. I thought I'd be an assistant pastor my whole life. I was content with it. I said, well, God's going to have to use a stick of dynamite get me out of being assistant pastor. I didn't tell him to use C4, but he did. Blew me out of the saddle. And it's okay. It was just like breathing. It was the thing to do. I have no problem with it. It's enjoyable. I love doing what I'm doing, but may I say this, I couldn't have known what to want. Sometimes we lock ourselves in and we put ourselves in a box. Did you ever want something and you finally got it, and after you got it, you wished you didn't have it? I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm looking at the clock, all right? But, you know, that little thing that you wanted, that you thought you wanted it so bad, and when you got it, you said, why did I want that so bad? A lot of you are unsatisfied in your Christian life because you want God to keep giving you everything that you want. When you get it, it doesn't satisfy, so you've got to ask him for more. Because what you got wasn't really what you wanted, even though you wanted it and you asked for it. The Bible says that God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Ooh. I'd rather say, I'm not going to ask. I don't want nothing unless you give it to me. And I'm just going to enjoy what I got. Look at Psalm 23 again. Let me show you how this works. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now watch this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Say, what's that mean? When you don't want things, God says, I'll make you to go where you're supposed to go. I'll give you restoration. I'll give you satisfaction for your soul. If you'll just let me lead you in those paths, versus you say, well, I want that, I want that, I want this, and you're never satisfied with anything that God gives you. But if you will let God want for you, you'll never have to want anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I won't have anything left to want for. Folks, how could we want more than heaven? Okay, so you don't get the fanciest car in the world while you're here on earth. Did you know that a car won't do you any good in heaven? You can build any house you want here on earth. It will not compare to your mansion in heaven. You can live on any street in America you want to live on, but it won't compare to the streets of gold in heaven. So why do we want so many things that are here? By the way, I don't need to know in advance what he's going to give me. Notice what it says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Does that sound like I did it willingly? Sometimes you just got to make him do it. But I must trust that he's already, because of what he's already given me, that he'll show me what I need and want next. You know, I've learned to trust God. We need to build a church building, preacher. Okay. Do you have any money? Nope. But let's go build a church building. Do we have property? Nope. Let's go find a piece. I have people tell me don't even think about it till you have building plans made. Don't even buy property. Well, how can I have building plans if I don't have property to put it on? I can't afford building plans, but I can maybe afford a couple acres of property, and Lord opened the door and gave us this property. $90,000. Remarkably. Unbelievably. Got it paid for. Okay, God, got a few thousand dollars left. Let's hire an architect or an engineer. They came out and worked on it. I met with the county. Oh, yeah, we want you to build a church. They didn't tell me they were going to fight me every step of the way. And step by step, little by little, battle by battle, we got her done. I didn't have it. I just knew it was the next step. I trusted him for the last step, figured if he's going to cut the limb off, at least I'm out on the end of the branch, amen? I'm going to keep on walking. He's got to keep putting something down there. I don't need to go looking for what I might need or what I might want. I'm not a good window shopper. I'm not one of these people that enjoys going to the stores and just walking around looking around. You say, why? Because there's nothing there I want. Really? There's nothing there that I want. If I follow his lead and trust that he'll give me what I need and what I want, then I don't need to do that. Does that make sense to anybody? Too many of us, we go looking and say, okay, God, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. He's not Santa Claus. When I decide to be shepherd of my own life, I decide I want things. If I let him be the shepherd, he leads me where I'm supposed to be to get what I need to want. Do you want to be shepherd of your own life? Or would you rather let God be your shepherd? Now, God gives you another shepherd. It's called the preacher. Sometimes he's got to whack you upside the head with the gospel gun, smack you good and silly to get you to look at God and say, maybe I ought to listen to that. But I'm not here to tell you what you want and what you don't want. I'm not here making people do anything. Folks, I believe we ought to give our best. Did you know that sometimes somebody's best that's maybe not professional quality is better than somebody that's professional quality? I'll take Miss Leanne, Brother Randy, and our music folks here at our church, Mrs. Barnes, any day over some of the polished musicians I've seen in churches.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, it's not as great musically. No, but it's from people that love the Lord. Say, well, they don't always hit all the right notes. Neither do you. How would you know? Now, wait a minute. Did you know it's okay? Now, I want them practiced up. I want them doing their best. I know a couple. They are Bible college graduates. He was very well known in our country. He decided to go to New York State and start a church. It's not even a Baptist church. It's a rock and roll church. He and his wife both have now advanced degrees in music. She sings for the Metropolitan Opera in New York City, and he plays for all these big fancy jazz people and writes music for all these people, and he makes fun of soul winning. In his own doctrinal statement, he says it's sin for church not to be fun. That's his doctrinal statement. By the way, both of them unbelievably talented. What happened? They let their talent turn into money. Now their talent is more important than their things for God. He looks like one of these people that plays in nightclubs. And I'm thinking, and you call yourself a pastor? You wouldn't be mine. Talent is overrated. You see, when I think I want something, I'd go to God and say, God, I'm going to let you decide what I want. If you want me to get it, you'll let me know. And you'll let me know how it works. And I don't think about things I don't have. You know, I don't waste 5 seconds of my life wondering, well, I wonder if I could have this. I wonder if I could have that. I wonder how I could get this. I don't wonder about those things. I really don't. Say, why? Why do I want to waste time on it? If God wants me to have it, he'll let me know. I can truly get excited when others get what they want because I don't want what they got. I have Brother Arcola just was recently given a bunch of money for their church. I was truly happy for him. when Brother Drilliard was building his church and God was bringing money in for them like he provided for us. I didn't call him and say, hey, what's the name of the guy that gave it to you? See if he's got any extras. No, I truly got excited with him because I knew how excited we were when God did those things. I never one time said, I wished I had that. I didn't say, why did he get it and why didn't we? I didn't say, I had a need, God, and you gave it to him instead of me. No. Get excited for him, and when God wants to provide for us, he'll give it to us. Why is it then that when somebody gets something that you don't have, you think you deserve it? Ouch. How about get excited for them and not worry about whether you get it or not? You see, if I wonder why they got it and not me, then it's because I've been wanting it and God didn't want it for me. By the way, I don't think because somebody gets something that I'm supposed to have it too. Letting God be the shepherd means you let him pick where you graze. You let him pick where you drink. You let him pick where you sleep. Is that not what Psalm 23 said? You let him help provide for you. When I start wanting, I'm trying to be the shepherd. Well, grass will be greener on the other side of the fence. Yeah, you're wanting somebody else's pasture. But you don't know what's in that pasture. There might be things in there that hurt you. By the way, most of the time, the devil's grass looks greener, but it's astroturf. It's fake grass. So, God says we should not want. Secondly, are you ready? I love you. We shouldn't talk about things that you may want. Don't talk about things that you may want. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians. Man, it's quiet in here tonight. I feel like I'm in an island. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of, what's the next word?
Want.
Huh. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In other words, I am not to state, I'm not to speak in respect of what I want. Is that not what God just said there? Not that I speak in respect of want. But I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse number 45. This one's going to hurt. Are you ready? Luke 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Now look at me for a second. Notice the word treasure. What's the rest of the verse? For out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Mouth speaketh. Ooh. So when you start saying, I want that, it's because you've been thinking about what something you want. And God says you're not supposed to think about what you don't want. If you don't think about it, you won't talk about it. I love you. God says if we talk about it, then we have already thought about wanting it. And if we think about wanting, then he's not our shepherd and we are shepherding our own life. And God wants to be your shepherd. Say, preacher, that's double talk. No, it's not. You see, God wants to want for you. Did you know that sometimes God wants things far greater than you could imagine? I've been around some people that have some means. Oh, I've been around Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson doesn't throw money around just like Mr. Magoo, all right? Y'all know who I'm talking about there? Most of you do. But Dr. Anderson, there's times where he's good to be around. Say why? Because he'll help you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you insight. And I'd rather have those things. I would rather have him than the things his money could buy. Dr. Fugit got to be with Dr. Anderson last week. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I'm going up to see Doc today. And I said, do me a favor, please give him a hug for me and tell him I love him. I said, I know that he's not well and he's not taking calls or texts. I said, would you please tell him? He said, Brother Bush, he said, you're the only man in the country that knows I'm going, and I'd be glad to do that for you. Say why? Because he knows I love Dr. Anderson. Because I love Dr. Anderson. I don't want anything from Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson sat in my office, sat in my car, tried to give us money, and I wouldn't take it. He said, preacher, you'd refuse money? Yep. I said, Doc, I don't want your money. I want you. He said, all right. He wasn't put out, but Dr. Anderson helped our church. How do you think we met a man named Jim Bossy? Dr. Anderson. He got a hold of Jim and said, Jim, you got to get a hold of this Brother Bush character. Jim came out to Aiken Center when we were in that sweat box. Stinking old upper room. Jim walked through the door and went, what in the world did I get into? I said, now you know why I need a building. He said, yes, you do. He felt sorry for us and gave us $45,000. Amen. I couldn't ask God for $45,000. But God could. You see, God says righteous people can be satisfied or content, but wicked people want things. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Okay. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse number 25. I promise there's only one more point after this, so the pain will be over soon, all right? The paddling is almost over. The altar's big enough for you, trust me. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse number 25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. God says, those that are righteous, you'll feed and get what you need and be satisfied. But people that are wicked, they never have enough. They've got to have the next thing. They've got to spend money on the next thing. They want the next thing. As soon as they get something, they've got to have something else. Sound familiar? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. By the way, God called that wickedness. I didn't. He did. I just read his word. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse number 8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money was the evil. The love of it and the love of what money can buy is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at me. I've watched many Christians ruin their life chasing the dollar, leaving a church to go to a better job, to a place that didn't have a good church, and ruin their families. First thing you ought to do is check out the church, not the job. Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to help you. It's better to have food and raiment and be content than to have more money in the bank and have everything you want and lose your family over it. And I do know what I'm talking about there. See, wanting more than food and raiment causes us to love money and things more than loving God. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we'll seek God and his righteousness, I'm not telling you to give all your money to the church. I don't want it that way. We're not going to have a give it all day. We're not going to ask you to double your tithe Sunday. I'd like you to double your tithe. Can I tell you how? Go get somebody, bring them to church and teach them to tithe. Amen. You'd like to double your tithe? Go get somebody and bring them in and teach them. That's the best way to bring more money to this church. Go soul winning, bring people to this church. I'm not asking you to give more of your money. But if we'll give God our righteousness and seek his righteousness, he said he would add these things unto us. We're so things minded. Lastly, God takes care of those that serve him. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. By the way, having money is not sinful. Having things is not sinful, but living for those things and loving those things more than serving God is sinful. Deuteronomy 28, look at verse number 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until they have destroyed thee. Oh, I'm going to go play the lottery and win hundreds of millions of dollars. Do you realize that over 90% of the people that win the lottery end up bankrupt, penniless, and commit suicide? Man recently just won $10 million. They found him dead in the river. Committed suicide. He wasted all his money and committed suicide. Say why? People can't handle it. You say why? Because they're living for things and they find out things don't satisfy. By the way, there's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with having $10 million. Matter of fact, I'll take the tithe off of it. We can take care of all the debt in the church, amen? Tithe off at once, I'm happy. Can I tell you something? Just don't tell me where you got it. can I tell you something? we're not supposed to worry about it. We're supposed to let God take care of those things. Malachi 3, we know those verses. Malachi chapter 3, it's right before the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, it talks about tithes and offerings, but I want you to notice something here. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. Now watch me. I'm going to give you my opinion. God has blessed America because America was founded on godly principles. America was a godly nation. And Christians understood tithing and they tithed to the church. The farther we get away from God, the worse our country does in the blessing department financially. We are over $30 trillion in debt. President Obama took us farther into debt than the 43 presidents prior to him combined. By the way, President Trump added almost $10 trillion to it. He had cut the bleeding a little bit. Your current president's already taken a $6 trillion in less than a year. Now, wait a minute. Say, why is that happening? Is America tithing? Is America tithing? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. One of the farm that I hunt, he's a good Christian man. He doesn't come to our church, but he's a good, decent guy. God blesses him. He's almost blind now. He's got macular degeneration, can hardly see. He's still out there farming. Got beef cows. Got his crops out. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I just put hay up in that backfield. He said, I never had hay so good in my life. He said, I got 32 tons an acre of hay. I said, Bill, good night. He said, yeah. He said, I used to think 22, 23 tons an acre was pretty good. He said, but 32, he said, that's unheard of. I said, let me ask you a question, Bill. I said, you don't have to answer me. I said, have you been tithing? He said, of course. I said, that's why God blessed you. Well, I didn't think about that. And I turned to Malachi 3 and I showed him what God said. He said, he would bless the fruits of your field. He said, well, that makes sense. Said, seems like every time I try to give a little extra to the Lord, my crops get better. I said, isn't that neat how that works? He said, isn't God good? Guess what? It still works. No person who serves God, no pastor, no layperson, should view life as though they have given up so much to serve God. I'm not a preacher that believes I gave anything up to serve God. I didn't forego a career to serve God. You say, what'd you give up? Living in the world, working in the world. And I get to serve God around God's people in God's house every day of my work life. I didn't give anything up. The saying, that is the, well, what I want is more valuable than what God wants, if I want something. But if I let God want for me, then what he wants is more valuable than what I could want. See, when you start wanting things, you start taking God out of the equation. But if you don't want something and God looks down and says, son, I got something for you, right there. Any preacher who says that it's a sacrifice to be in the ministry needs to quit the ministry and go make an honest living. Sorry. I'm having too much fun. By the way, Malachi 7:11 says he'll give you gifts you didn't even ask for. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing and rebuke the devourer of your finances. I'd rather live this way than anyway. Let me finish with this. I used to teach at Bible colleges and preach at Bible colleges and help Bible college students. I'd have a guy come to me and say, Brother Bush, I'm looking for the right girl. I said, quit looking. They'd look at me. I said, if you get busy serving God, and you get busy doing what God wants you to do, God says he'll bring her to you. I said, matter of fact, Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. I said, do you know what the word findeth means? It means trip over. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it literally means to trip over. God did not give Adam a wife until he was busy doing what he was supposed to be doing. Bible says, do your work and make it fit in the field and afterwards build thine house. I said, if you'll get busy serving God, walking with God, God will bring the right one to you. You'll trip over her. Well, I tripped over mine. She was walking out of a doorway and I knocked her down and buckets and brooms going everywhere. I wasn't looking. Matter of fact, I helped her pick things up, put it back in her hand, said sorry, and I went on. And the next day she was at the same doorway, but I didn't knock her over that day. We laughed about it. I got my sack lunch and went on. The next day she was there again. And the Lord says, hey, stupid, talk to her for a while. What am I going to ask her? So we talked. I found out that she was her family was in the same church. My mom and dad had just moved to Toledo, and they were going to that very church that she's from. I said, man, that's a small world. We talked for a few minutes. I went to work. I got to work, and the Lord says, hey, stupid, I told you to talk to her. I did. No, I want you to take her out. Say what? I said, if she's there again tomorrow, I'll do it. You know who was there the next day? Man, I didn't. You say, how'd that work? God brought her my way. I wasn't looking for one. I was content. I was busy. I was as busy as it could be. I was busier than I'd ever been in my life. And God brought her my way and tripped over. If we'll get so busy serving God, he'll trip you up with the things that he wants you to have. You don't have to go looking for them. By the way, God gave me better than anything I could have looked for. Talk about marrying up. I did it. I did teach my son one thing. He married up. I taught Michael good. He married up. I didn't do a lot of things right, but I married right. I want to live not wanting anything. I want to live with the blessing of God on my life, looking for his blessings and not looking for things for myself. I'd rather look for the blessing of God than look for things for myself and buy it myself. How about we practice, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A little bit of a tough truth, but one we all need.